to Hebrews chapter 3. Book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Nearly every religion has a high priest, whether they call him or her that or not. All religions have a person who is looked up to and followed and esteemed as being more holy, just about more holy than everyone else, more pious, more spiritual than the common people. You know that so, don't you? Nearly every religion. From the Pope to the Dalai Lama to, you just go on and on, down to the smallest little free will Baptist church has some dude that people think is really something else. It's so. These men and some even women are trusted, greatly trusted in, and generally hoped to be spiritual guides to lead the people to God. Now, a high priest is scriptural. We just read about the high priest. God Almighty is the one who ordained this office of a high priest. And there's a few things about the high priest. Now, first of all, it was a man. It was a man. All right? Secondly, a chosen man. Chosen by God. God chose the man. Hebrews talks about this. That men didn't choose the man, God did. All right? Thirdly, the reason, the purpose for this high priest was to lead the people in the worship of God. To lead the people in the worship of God. Show them and go through all of the things, the means of worship which God ordained. All right? He carried it out. He did it all. All the things necessary to approach God. All right? And then he was a representative. He represented the people. He went to God for the people. He went to God for the people. Before there was a high priest, Moses was the high priest. Right? Before God even said there was a high priest, Moses. God wouldn't talk to anybody but Moses. And Moses spoke to God for the people. All right, now look at Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. And I just about didn't get past that right there down in Santo Domingo. Partakers of the heavenly calling. We talked about what a high calling this is. High, a heavenly call. God, the Creator, calls, literally, calls some people. Not all people, some people. In mercy and grace, in electing grace, He calls some people, not all people. And if we are partakers, if He's called us, how blessed we are. Well, Paul says, consider, all right, those who are, no, this is written to those who have heard this call, the gospel call. That's what the call is, the gospel. Many people have ears, but they don't hear it. He says, let's consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Let's consider, let's think about our high priest. We have a high priest. We still have a high priest. We've got to have a high priest. God hasn't changed. God said you've got to have a tabernacle, that is a place. You've got to have a high priest, a person. You've got to have a sacrifice, a thing. You've got to have a person, a place, and a thing. These three things, without which you can't come to God. You can't worship God. You can't know God. God won't have anything to do with you. Well, these three are one. They're a person. The place is a person. The person is a person. The thing, the sacrifice is a person. Christ is all these things. All and in all. These things. All right? And he said, let's consider our high priest. All right? The one we profess. He says, the high priest of our profession. If people would ask you, we'd say, yes, we have a high priest. We do. We have a high priest. Christ Jesus, the priest of our profession. So Paul says, let's think about him a little bit. Let's consider him. Now, the whole book of Hebrews is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who he is, it starts out in chapter 1. That didn't get past the first four verses. Who he is, five verses. Express image of God and so forth. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. It tells who he is, who our high priest is. Builds up, keeps building up. He didn't say the angels, my son. He tells the angels to worship him. And even God the Father said to God the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever. Dispels all wrong notions of who Christ is. He's God. Well, the whole book of Hebrews is about Jesus Christ. Who he is, why he came, and what he did. And the whole book of Hebrews tells us that Christ is better than everything else. And we like to say that Jesus Christ is all the religion that we need. He's all the religion that we need. That Christ is better. Paul says he's better than the angels. People are all infatuated with angels, aren't they, today? Just infatuated with angels. We need to talk about angels. Christ is better. Christ is better than Moses. Better than Moses. People are taken with the law. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians that says, if the ministration of the law was glorious, how much more the ministration of grace came by Christ. Well, he's better than Moses. Better than the law. Just a shadow. He's better than Moses. Better than the law. Better, better, better than all pretended priests. Like I said, many pretend to be priests today, don't they? Men like to act like they're somebody. You know, like to dress like they're somebody. Like to act like they're a little above the people. Well, our high priest is better. And we're going to see that tonight, how much better he is. Did you ever compare your father with other fathers growing up? You ever do that? My dad's bigger than yours. He can whip your dad. Did you ever say that, Rick? My dad can whip your dad. He's bigger, faster, and stronger. He can able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. Did you ever do that? Well, our Christ is better. All the way around, in everything, the Jesus Christ of our profession is better. Better than these pretended saviors today that men are worshiping. Better. Our rock, not like theirs, is it? You can hide in our rock. Our high priest is better. All right? Let's look at him. He says, let's consider him. Look at chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Our Christ, number one, is he's one of us. He's one of us. Now, this is comforting. He's one of us. Look at the, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. It says in verse 16, he took not on him the nature of angels, but took on him the seed of Abraham. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. He's one of us. He's not, though he is separate from sinners, the scripture said, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, altogether different. a holy man, yet, Job, he's one of us. He's a common man. Because it says common people hurt him gladly. We could talk to him. And not feel intimidated in his presence. That's right. Yeah, I know you've been around religious people like I have, and they just make you uncomfortable. It says sinners, common people, heard him gladly. They flocked to him. Why? He didn't act. Though he was holy, yet he didn't act. He was a servant to him. And this man received the sinners. He received them. And spoke to them. One of us. Look at chapter 4. Verse 18. Before you turn. Verse 18. In that he himself had suffered being tempted, he's able to succor or help those that are tempted. Now chapter 4. Verse 15. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You see it, verse 15? He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know, you cannot enter into someone's troubles unless you had them yourself. You really can't. You know what? You just can't do it. You can feel sorry for them, but you really cannot enter into or really feel their troubles unless you have felt those very same troubles. Is that not true? Sure it is. Whether it's sickness, a particular sickness, loss of a loved one, loneliness, whatever. Unless you've been there, you can't enter into it. When our Lord, on purpose, would you go through trouble if you didn't have to? Would you? Would you go through sickness if you didn't have to? Would you have surgery if you didn't have to? Christ did. Look, I love this. My favorite. John 11. You remember Lazarus' tomb here. I love this. I've got this marked. And this is why a center reference is so good. John 11. Verse 33, Christ was at Lazarus' tomb, and it says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Do you have a marginal reference beside that? What does it say? He troubled himself. He put himself through a great deal of trouble. Why? Well, number one, to deliver us from our troubles, our chief trouble, sin. That's what it said back there. To make propitiation for our sin. But also to feel our trouble so he could help us. Help us. Brother Linda Stoniker. I started to say Brother Todd. I changed my mind. Sister Linda Stoniker went through cancer surgery, and now she's faced with weeks and weeks and weeks of chemotherapy and radiation. And they say it's worse than the disease. Treatment is just indescribable. And you don't know until you can't tell unless you've been through it. Well, Brother Todd Knight called her up and said, let me tell you all about it. And went through her with. He's been through it. He knows. He said, I can tell you I've been there. Well, so did our Lord. There's nothing that anybody in this room has gone through that Christ hadn't been through 100 times more. Tempted, it says he stand for 40 days and 40 nights with the devil himself. With anything and everything a man or a woman could be tempted with in this life, Christ was met head on, assaulted with it. Tempted? You tempted? He was tempted. Lonely? None more than he, ever. No one will ever be all alone. Ed, God left him. God left him. Everybody left him. Forsaken. Totally forsaken. Cut off, the scripture says, out of the land of the living. Suffering. Have you suffered? None have suffered. No one has ever suffered like Christ. He suffered in body, unlike anybody will probably ever suffer, but more, but worse, soul suffering. So he knows. Christ, our high priest, it says, is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Never mind what some of these leaders today say. They say, I feel your pain. Yeah, right, man. Sitting up there in that big house. Yeah, right. You feel our pain. Christ had not a roof over his head. Huh? One pair of shoes and one suit of clothes. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He took our likeness, our limitations, yes, made a little lower than the angels. Scripture says, flesh, our favorite version, Nancy, he knows our frame. He knows what it is to deal with flesh. Why? He wore the frame. He wore flesh, yet without sin. These sheltered priests, you see, most of these priests today, so-called priests, they live in monasteries, you know, shelter themselves. Separate themselves from sinners, lest they become defiled. Christ became sin. Was made sin. I've read stories about missionaries in days of old who ministered to lepers, who went to leper colonies, and they became lepers. They went into the leper colony and became lepers, never to return, so that they could minister to lepers. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Philippians said he was made. Romans 8 says he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. How repulsive to his holy nature. But he troubled himself. He did it. John, to know what we're putting up with. Yeah, our high priest is better. I don't want some fellow who came out of a seminary who's never sinned. Who's never sinned, doesn't know what sin is, doesn't know what I'm going through out there in the world. I want some fellow who's right in the midst of it and can help me, right? Been through what I've been through. Our high priest is better. He's better. Oh, for the life of me, I can't understand people confessing all their sins to some man who's never had any of them. Well, and chapter 5, verse 2, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2. Look at this. This is a good word here. A word in season. Hebrews 5, verse 2, our high priest, it says, can have compassion on the ignorant. I like that. Compassion. Compassion is a composite word. Compassion means common passion. As we said, you cannot really feel what someone is feeling unless you've been through it. Common passion means feelings. Common passion. And have compassion. And it says, on the ignorant. I like that. I feel so ignorant at times because I don't learn lessons. You feel that way? You ever feel like, when am I ever going to learn? Well, he can have compassion on that. He immersed himself in this world and its troubles on purpose. I told you about, you know, taking Hannah to Mexico and me, myself, going down the Dominican. And that first night, being alone in that strange city, a stranger in a strange place, not speaking the language, not knowing anyone. And I thought, why am I here? And then it dawned on me. That's what my daughter's going through right now. And so I was able to call her and write her and say, honey, I know what you feel. I know exactly what's going through your mind. And here's what you need to think about. And wrote her words of comfort. I've been there. I've been there, a stranger in a strange place, all alone. And so I could write her and give her those words that she needed. And so did our Lord. What about him? A stranger in a strange land. All right, the next thing. Chapter 2, verse 17. We sung about this. Chapter 2, verse 17. In all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. A merciful and faithful high priest. Now, mercy is the most wonderful word in the English language. Mercy. And maybe grace. Christ, the three, it's a toss-up. These three are in one, aren't they? Mercy, great, love, grace. Mercy means not getting what we deserve. Mercy means being spared punishment that we're due. Spared the judgment. Well, the Scripture here says that Christ is full of mercy. Mercy, full. That means full of mercy. Scripture says that He delights to show mercy. And that, in other words, there's nothing that gives Him more pleasure. Is there anything you delight to do? When you delight in something, that means, oh, that's just what I want to do. You ever, thank somebody for doing something? Say, oh, I don't thank me. It's my privilege, my pleasure. He delights to show mercy. Well, I'm glad of that because I need a lot of it. And He delights to show mercy. He's not grudgingly all. You done that again? Well, I had mercy on you yesterday. Oh, all right. Oh, no, He delights to show mercy. You got that, sinner? He delights to show. Scripture says He's ready to pardon. I love that, John. He's ready to pardon. That means He's waiting. That's the Scripture even says that, doesn't it, John? He waits to be gracious. Oh, He's not waiting on every son of Adam, that's for sure. No, He's not waiting at the heart's door or anything like that, but He is waiting on His people. He's waiting to be gracious. And He's already determined. I love this, my favorite verse. He says, I know my thoughts towards you. Thoughts of peace. He's waiting to be merciful, to be gracious. Man is not, He's prone to mercy. You know, we're prone to sin, prone to wander, prone to lie, prone to cheat, prone to this. He's prone to mercy. That's His nature. Prone to mercy. Man is vindictive. Man is vengeful. Man is ready to cast out. Ready. Looking for excuse to cut somebody off. Is that not right? Looking for excuse to condemn somebody. Looking for excuse to be done with somebody. Not Christ. Be prone to mercy. Our high priest is merciful. David said this, my favorite verse. David said, after the Lord told him what all He was going to do for him. The Lord, took David from the sheep coat or from out in the pasture looking at the hind end of sheep, just a little boy, and raised him up to sit him on the greatest throne, the greatest kingdom in all the world, or gave him wisdom and promised him mercy and grace all the days of his life and promised mercy and grace to his household all the days of his life. And he would never depart from him and would always remember his covenant toward him. And David said that. He said, is this the way of man? No. This is not man. Man wouldn't do that. Man's not merciful, but God is. Our high priest is. He sure is. Remember me talking to you about that young preacher who's just ready to cut people out, to discipline people? And he wrote me another letter, you know, talking about how that you got to excommunicate people. I'm glad I got a high priest who's ready to not excommunicate, but ready to include me, people like me. I want you to turn there. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, I could quote it to you, and you know it. But you know, I have never rightly quoted these words in context. Isaiah 55. Though the way we use these is right, yet I want you to see the context of these words. All right? Look at Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him. To our God, he will abundantly pardon. That means he'll do a lot of it. For, here's the context, my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's not what you do, he said. You don't abundantly pardon, but I do. Look at it. My ways are not your way. You don't forgive and forget. I do both, he said. For as the heavens, and this is talking about God's mercy and God's grace, God's forgiveness. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher and my ways higher. You see the context there? He's talking about his mercy, John. And I love this. It's new every morning. One of the brethren came up after the service the other day and said, remember when we said that every believer starts every morning with a clean slate? And absolutely a clean slate. His mercies are new every morning. Yesterday's sins are gone. They never were written, for that matter. They never were recorded. We start with a clean slate. Isn't that good? You ever felt just your guilt just bring you down? You thought, like David, you pray, oh, the heavens are brass. Is his mercy clean gone? Remember when David said, is it clean gone? Surely he's done with me now. And you wake up in the morning, clean slate. It's forgotten. Now, don't do it again. And Job, we do it again. But he's full of mercy. Isn't that a word in season and comfort? We got a better high priest. Look at the next thing. He's faithful. Merciful and faithful in things pertaining to God. That's Hebrews 2:17. Merciful and faithful in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. This is important. This is what the whole book is about. Right here. This is what the whole book of Hebrews is about. People down there just hung on the edge of their seats. Listen to me. We've heard this a lot, haven't we? They hung on their seats. Brand new. Everything brand new. Brother Ronaldo just wrote me a letter, an email, and said, would you send me all your notes on Hebrews? I want to continue preaching through it. He said, I'm going to start in chapter 6. Hurry. Well, God told Moses, he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern. It better be right. He said, it shall be perfect to be accepted. God said, every jot and tittle of the law must be fulfilled. Every jot and tittle. He said, to offend in one point, you've broken it all. Guilty of it all. Well, Moses failed, didn't he? You remember, Vicki, when Moses struck the rock again and God killed him? And God said to him, he said, you didn't sanctify me before the people. You did not sanctify me before the people. And God was angry with Moses. The law can't sanctify. Can it? John, that happened on purpose, buddy. It happened on purpose. The law can't sanctify. Well, Christ did. God said from heaven, I'm well pleased with him. He's glorified me. He's kept my law. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. He knew the law inside and out, every jot and tittle. Paul said, now I used to be a lawyer. Paul said that. He said, I used to be a lawyer before I knew the law. He said, I used to be blameless before I heard the law. And so Paul said, we need a high priest. We need a high priest. And by his knowledge, Christ's knowledge of the law, shall he justify many. He knew every jot and tittle of the law perfectly to fulfill it perfectly for us. And how did he know it? He wrote it. Well, he's faithful in all things pertaining to God. To bring us to God, it behooved him. It was becoming him and bringing many sons to glory. Before we made our trip to Mexico, I was very careful in getting everything together, all things ready to take my daughter into the country of Mexico. I know now why my father doesn't like to go out of the country anymore. The older I get, the more it's pretty fearful, for lack of a better word, thing. Going through customs and, you know, all your papers you've got to be right in order, and then going into a foreign country, they can throw you in jail if they don't like you. I could just throw you in jail. They can do it. And my father, you know, he doesn't hear well, and going through all that, those customs and all that, and searching your bags and all that sort of thing. Well, I was very careful to get everything in order to get my daughter into the country of Mexico so that she would get there safe. I was very careful in getting all things ready to ensure that she would enter Mexico. All right? Now, there's three things. You may have heard my pastor say this. Three things you need in order to enter a foreign country. Three things. Number one, you've got to have a birth certificate. You've got to have a birth certificate. Passport has your date of birth, city, and all that. That's your birth certificate. Number two, you've got to have a visa. After you show your birth certificate, the country in which you're going or entering, they've got to grant you permission to enter the country. They've got to say, we accept you into our country. And they write on that visa how long you can stay. If they say you can stay 1 hour, that's it, buddy. You better be out. If they say 6 months, if they say you're a permanent resident, then that's how long you get to stay. Sort of visa it, all right? And thirdly, they don't let any people in with a criminal record. Are you listening? You see where all this is going? Huh? In other words, you can't be a felon. You can't have anything, a crime on your record, or they won't let you in. So I was very careful to get everything in order. Well, our high priest says he's faithful in all things pertaining to God, to bring us to God. We look for a heavenly country, all right? We're going to have a new birth. A birth certificate, if you will. A new birth. And those scars, that riven side shows us where we came from. New birth, new creature. We're going to have a visa, that is, an acceptance from the one
to whom we're going, to God. We want to get to God. We want to get to heaven. He's going to have to grant us entrance. Well, Ephesians 1:6 says that, doesn't it, John? It says we're accepted in the blood. Well, how long? How long can we stay? He says, I give unto them eternal life forever in this country. And thirdly, you better not have one crime on your record. Well, that's taken care of there. Our high priest, you see, has gotten everything in order. New birth, acceptance with the Father, and there's nothing on our record. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Because we get to enter. He says, come, you blessed of my Father. Enter. Enter. And it says, well, when we got to Mexico, we were starting to set up things in Cody and Winna's house, and they put Hannah in a guest bedroom. Well, it was not like her bedroom, you know. And I wanted her to be, you're going to stay there 9 weeks. I'm glad her mom's not sitting up here right now. But that room was very sparse. Nothing on the walls. No table beside the bed. No. Yeah, very, very sparse. It's just a guest bedroom. Well, I wanted to make it like, you know, comfortable, nice, her room. So I did everything to prepare a place for her to be comfortable. Well, our Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. Didn't it? And when I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And that place, I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, neither have entered in your heart. The things we sure not going to want to go home. That will be our home. And look at the next thing. And I asked the people down there. I said, "I got to quit." I said, "No, no, no." Everyone, no, no, don't stop. But we've been going, no, don't stop. Chapter 7, verse 24. Look there. Chapter 7. Here's another thing about our high priest. Verse 24. Rick, that's when one of them said, you like an honor, we want to squeeze all the juice out of it. Chapter 7, verse 24 says, this man, because he continueth ever or forever, have an unchangeable priesthood. In other words, Nancy, we're going to have the same priest forever. Well, that's good. Isn't it comforting to have the same person in the same place? Anybody bank at Crestar? Anybody? Is that, oh, okay. Whew. Is the help bad? Is it a bad place? Don't mess up my illustration. Don't you like to go to that? You do like to go to that drive-thru, don't you? Isn't it nice to have the same person there that knows your name, knows everything about you and all that? Huh? Same person there, been there for 100 years? You know what I'm saying? You know, same old husband, you know? Isn't it nice, Barbara? In spite of all his faults, same old Charlie. Wake up, same old Charlie. Nothing going to surprise you. Well, that's really comforting. You know what I mean? That's really comforting. And, well, our high priest is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always going to be the same. He's always going to be the same and always going to be there. But unchangeable. Preachers come and go. For the life of me, I don't see why people stay at these places. Preachers are like, tourists coming and going. Do you? I don't. Well, a great deal of comfort in that. And it says he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And lastly, second to lastly, chapter 4, verse 14. It's too good to quit. Chapter 4, verse 14 says, we have a high priest. Well, where is it? He's passed into the heavens. He's in the heavens. He's with the Father right now. I love 1 John 2 says, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer. Where is he? He's sitting by the judge. I want him, don't you? Huh? Especially if you're guilty. Right, Dan? I mean, absolutely guilty. All the evidence is against you. You're sentenced. You're on death row, ready to die, and you need a lawyer. Where is it? He's with the judge right now in the secret chamber with the judge right now, pleading your case, and he's never lost a case. I want him. Don't you? And the high priest, I want one whom God has absolutely accepted. Absolutely accepted. Everything he is and everything he does. Every prayer he makes, every offering he's made, which was one. Then is that the high priest you want? I couldn't help but think about some of this the mass and all that goes on today. And when we read that in chapter 8 and 9, where it says they continually offer this thing, they serve the Mass every... One sacrifice. Christ offered one sacrifice. And lastly, Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. This is the last. At least the last thing I have written down. It's certainly not all there is about our high priest. We're just skimming the surface. You know, I often hear people say this. People talk about what God can do. You ever hear that? Well, my God is greater than any problem. Well, no, that sounds real good, doesn't it? Or does it? Jesus can. God can. That doesn't really help me. I want to hear something in the past tense. Don't you? Huh? In the past tense. Look at Hebrews 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory, express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged, E.D., past tense, our sin, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better. So much better. My Christ not only can, He does. See the difference? He's so much better. Our God is not only able, He's willing, and He does it. Whatever He wills to do, He does it. And it's not left up to me. Chapter 9, verse 12 says, when He had by Himself heard, it says He obtained eternal redemption for us. He entered into the holy place. Once, having obtained eternal redemption for us. It's done. It's a done thing. Yes, we have, Paul said, such a high priest. He said, seeing then we have such a high priest who's passed into the heavens right now, who offered one sacrifice, successful, complete, accepted, and now ever lives to make intercession for us, yes, even the chief of sinners. Well, he says, well, what need have we of any other? Ours is better. He said, come boldly. Come boldly. All right, let's stay. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the book of Hebrews and the book of James and Peter and John and all Your Word. But tonight especially, we thank You for revealing to us our great high priest. Great high priest. Not just any high priest, but the great high priest. Not just any shepherd, not just a good shepherd, but chief shepherd. How we thank You that we have such a one as He, such a high priest. And so we come doing as You told us. We come freely, we come with liberty to the throne of grace to find help from a merciful high priest. In time of need, which is daily, hourly, we come boldly and we believe we are accepted and heard by virtue of Christ's blood and righteousness. So we thank you for revealing this to us. Reveal it not just to our heads, but to our hearts, giving us peace and comfort. And we've said all and done all these things in Christ's name for His glory. Amen. You're dismissed.